Please turn with me this evening to Isaiah 40. We're going to be reading verses 12 to 31, and then we're going to be focusing this week on verses 12 to 26. Before we do that, let's have a word of prayer. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, so often we need reminding about the eternal truths of who you are and what you have done in creation and in redemption. I ask that you would remind us now as we hear your word read and preached. Open our hearts, we pray, in the name of the Son and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Isaiah 40, verses 12 through 31. This is the word of the Lord. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and marked off the heavens with a span, enclosed the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who has measured the Spirit of the Lord, or what man shows him his counsel? Whom did he consult, and who made him understand? Who taught him the path of justice, and taught him knowledge, and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket, and are accounted as the dust on the scales. Behold, he takes up the coastlands like fine dust. Lebanon would not suffice for fuel, nor are its beasts enough for a burnt offering. All the nations are as nothing before him. They are accounted by him as less than nothing and emptiness. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness compare with him? An idol? A craftsman casts it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold and casts for it silver chains. He who is too impoverished for an offering chooses wood that will not rot. He seeks out a skillful craftsman to set up an idol that will not move. Do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in, who brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth, when he blows on them and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me, that I should be like him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see. Who created these? He who brings out their hosts by number and calls them by name? By the greatness of his might and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from my God, from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is the word of the Lord. The last time I preached, we looked at the first 11 verses of Isaiah 40. And there we saw God comforting his people. And he was announcing his plan to bring salvation, to redeem them. We saw this was a promise given from Isaiah to the people who would go into exile, to the people of Judah. Promise that God would bring them out of exile. This promise is also for us in Christ. This promise that God would come to his people is fulfilled in Christ coming to earth. And we see that it's also going to be fulfilled even more fully when Christ comes again a second time. There's this promise in these first 11 verses that God is coming and his salvation is coming. But in verses 12 to 31, Isaiah is addressing the doubts of some of these people he's prophesying to. These people feel like God has forgotten them. Verse 27 we read, "My way is hidden from the Lord." That's what they're saying. "My way is hidden from the Lord. I don't feel like God is here. I do not feel as though he is with me." So these are the doubts these people are having. And so Isaiah is addressing these doubts. And he does so by asking us a series of questions. And these questions are designed to help us think about what we really believe about God, and then show us what we should believe about God, what really is true about God. These questions are meant to bring us comfort and help us realize afresh God's power and God's promises to us. So, tonight, my points are all going to be questions. There are 14 questions in our passage, 14 question marks. So I could make it a 14-point sermon, but I won't. It'll be a 5-point sermon. There'll be 5 questions that I asked him tonight. So, question number 1, who created the world? Well, Isaiah says very clearly in our first verse that we read tonight, God created the world. He shows us. God measured the waters. He marked off the heavens. He encloses all the dusts of the earth, and he weighs the mountains and the hills. Verse 26, it says, God created the stars. God has created everything, and everything he created from nothing. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's what Isaiah is pointing these people back to the very beginning of time when God created. Well, that's our first question. We're already one down. So now here's our second question. How big is God? How big is this God who created the world? Well, we can see again, looking more deeply at verse 12, how big God is. He's huge. He has these 4 poetic descriptions Isaiah provides us about God creating the earth. First, it says that he can measure all the waters in the hollow of his hand. In a single hand, he can measure all the waters of the earth. Now, I did some Googling. Found some numbers. Well, I also did some experiments. I figured out I can hold in my right hand about a tablespoon of water without it leaking. That's about the most. Maybe a little more. Maybe like a tablespoon and a half. That's half an ounce of water. Estimates are that in this world, there is approximately 326 quintillion, which is 326 with 18 zeros behind it, 326 quintillion gallons of water. God holds all of that in the hollow of one hand. The second thing that he says about God, he says he marks off the heavens with a span, and a span is a distance between either, some say the middle finger, others say the pinky finger. So span between your thumb, it's about 9 inches traditionally in the Bible when you see that word. And now he says he can mark off the whole heavens with a span. You know, I could maybe measure this pulpit with a span, 2.5, 3 spans. But he says he marks off the entire heavens. And there are crazy amount of mind-boggling numbers that you could come up with to talk about the heavens. But just giving you one. The closest star to the Earth besides the Sun is a star called Proxima Centauri. It is 4.24 light years away. So 4.25 years traveling at the speed of light. That's how far away it is. One light year is about a little under 6 trillion miles. And, you know, we just traveled to Grand Rapids, Michigan from here to see my family a few weeks ago. That was 750 miles, and that was a long travel. That was a long trip. It's nothing. There's no way my mind can conceive of 6 trillion miles. But for God spanning out the heavens, marking out the heavens with his hand, that's just a dot. That's nothing. The third thing it says that God encloses the dust of the earth in a measure. And perhaps a good comparison for us, to substitute for a measure, we might say a Tupperware container, you know, like a quart or 2 quarts at the most. It's a small measurement. God's Tupperware container, he can hold all of the dust of the earth, all of the sand on the earth. And the number that I found for that, for all the sand on the earth, rough estimate, 25 trillion pounds of sand on the earth. That all just fits in a little container for God. And the fourth thing, it says he weighs the mountains and the hills and balances and scales. And the rough estimated weight, and these are all just estimates. God, of course, knows exactly these numbers. But the estimated weight for Mount Everest alone is 357 trillion pounds. Again, number I can't even conceive of. But just imagine God grabbing Mount Everest and just plopping it down on a scale as he measures out all the mountains and the hills of the earth. That's all it is to him. Just picking up. That's how great God is. And we sing this song. We sing this song, he's got the whole world in his hands. You know, we sing that song as little kids. He's got the whole universe just in his hands. Psalm 145, verse 3 says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. And I like how the NIV puts it. His greatness no one can fathom. How can you imagine just the immensity, the infinity of God? Greatness is unfathomable. We can't begin to comprehend the greatness of our God. Isaiah shows us in just one verse, God's the creator of the whole world, and he is immense. He is greater than anything we can imagine. And then our third question, how smart is God? Verses 13 and 14, who has measured the Spirit of the Lord? 1 Corinthians 2, verse 11, Paul says that it is the Spirit that comprehends the thoughts of God. So this likely refers here, when he says Spirit of the Lord, to the mind of the Lord. This is asking us, who can go toe-to-toe with God intellectually? Who is smarter than God? Who is wiser than God? Did God need to consult with a counselor before he made the world? Well, in the Babylonian myths, their creator God did. He had to consult with someone. But did God? Who did God consult with? No, God, if anything, God consults with himself. Genesis 1:27, when he's making man, he says, let us make man in our own image. And there, of course, we see this hint, this first hint, maybe second hint, that God is triune, that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He speaks with himself to make us. He doesn't speak with any other being. He doesn't need help. It says, who taught him the path of justice? God's standard for justice isn't the one that the Supreme Court hands down to him, isn't the one that the United Nations or you or me hands down to him. God is the originator. He is the standard for justice, for knowledge. Smart isn't the right term to use even when talking about God. God is the source of our smartness. Well, then, here's the fourth question. Is God still in control of the things that go on the earth? Is he in control, or did he just build this whole world and then start it running like a clock and just let it go? No, he didn't. It's very clear God is involved in his creation, and he's powerful over it. Again, we see in verse 15 God's greatness with respect to earthly nations. It says, behold, nations are like a drop from a bucket. It's anthropological, poetic picture. Isaiah is describing all the nations of the earth. In his day, Assyria, Egypt, Babylon. In our day, America, Canada, China, Russia, India. They're all like a drop that falls from God-sized bucket of water. It's like a tiny splash. Nothing. That's how much greater God is than all the nations, all of Isaiah's nations, but all of the nations in our day. He says they're like dust on the scales. If you have something that's covered in dust, what do? You just blow the dust off. And the coastlands, he says, some of the economic powers of Isaiah's day, these nations that would trade on the seas, Tyre, Sidon, fine dust, dustier dust. God is exhaustively powerful over all of these nations, Babylon, Assyria, the United States of America. Even more than dust, verse 17 says, all the nations are nothing before him. They are accounted by him as less than nothing and emptiness. That's how insignificant they are compared to the power of God. And then verse 22. He says, what about the people on the earth? What about the individual people? Well, he says, they're like grasshoppers. And he says, what about the princes and rulers? What about the most powerful people you could find on earth? Nothing. And emptiness. Same words. Nothing and emptiness. It's true no matter who we're talking about. That's true whether it's a king or a president, a celebrity, an athlete, a billionaire. Nothing and emptiness compared to God. God is the one in control of it all, of all people, of all nations. Is this greatness overwhelming you yet? His greatness is, as we said, unfathomable. There is really not a God like this God. Which is why Isaiah goes in verses 18 to 20 and he ridicules idols. Someone makes an idol, maybe they make it out of gold or silver, or maybe if they're poor, he says, they make it just out of wood. And he says, well, what do you do with it? You make it, and then you set it up so that it won't move. You just put it there. The better made the idol is, the more stationary it is. Is that really your God? A God that is designed to not move? He's saying to the people of these days, what do you want to turn to for comfort? Do you want to turn to an idol? Why? Because all the nations around you are doing it? It's silly. Idols are pathetic compared to the infinite, eternal, all-powerful, oceans holding in one hand, universe-spanning God. Nothing the people in Isaiah's day, and nothing in our day that we concoct can give us comfort. Nothing on social media, no food, no human being, no hobby, no peppy slogan, no just do it, no be yourself, or just believe, or I'm strong enough. We'll give you security, we'll give you comfort. Of course, what will? It's not actually a what, it's a who. God, God will, Jesus Christ. That's who can truly comfort you. But, as you know, that's the Sunday school answer. That's what you're just supposed to say, right? You've heard all this before. You heard that God is all-powerful, that he created everything, that he's in control of everything, and so had the people in Isaiah's day. That's why he asks them. Verse 21, do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Isaiah's saying, you know these things. You've heard these things. You've heard them from the very beginning. But his point is also to say, these have been true from the beginning. These things that Isaiah, that I'm telling you about God, they have always been true. God has always been incomprehensibly powerful. He has always had authority over everything and everyone. Even in exile, even in 2020, God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as Hebrews 13 says, the same yesterday and today and forever. Do you truly believe that about God? That he is still, whatever is going on in this world, in your life, all-powerful. He is still the same as he was yesterday, and he will be the same God tomorrow. He won't change. That leads to our last question. Do you believe God's promises? In verses 25 and 26 of this passage, God himself reminds his people of his promises to them. You'll notice, verse 25, Isaiah is not the one asking the question. This time, it's God himself. God comes directly and he says, to whom then will you compare me that I should be like him? God comes to us, and in his word, we don't just read stuff about God. We read stuff truly from the mouth of God himself speaking to us. And in verse 26, God, as it were, takes us outside at night. And he tells us to look up. And he doesn't say what we're looking at, but we know what we're looking at. We're looking at the stars. And we're looking at the stars just like Abraham did all those years and years ago. Abraham was worried at the time that God wasn't going to keep his promises to Abraham, to give him a son, to give him children. So God says, look outside, look up at the stars. He says, can you count those stars? He says, that's how many children you're going to have. Innumerable children. More offspring than you can conceive of. And all these years later, God speaks to Abraham's offspring. The proof that God's promise to Abraham has been fulfilled. He speaks to Abraham's offspring in exile. He speaks to us, Abraham's offspring, by faith in Jesus Christ. And he says to us, look at the stars. Each star has a place. Each one has a name. You're Abraham's children. You are the stars in heaven. I know each one of you by name. I call each one of you by name. He says, do you ever see a star missing? Do you ever go outside and look up and say, well, I guess we have no North Star tonight. Well, I guess Orion's belt fell off. That doesn't happen. Every night, God, as it says in this passage, he brings out all the stars. Not one of them is missing. God is in control of the stars in the sky. How much more does he care for his people whom he loves so much that he spared not his son for us? God has made promises to you to be your God, to redeem you, to save you, to sustain you, to comfort and strengthen you. He makes these promises for us in Christ Jesus. And because he is strong in power, you know that he can fulfill those promises and that he will. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we've heard with our ears, now apply to our hearts the truth that you are greater than we can fathom, knowing every star in the sky, and yet you care even more for us, your children. May we be comforted by your power. Please help us to be strong in you and in the power of your might. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and by the power of the promised Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.